Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I don't know if it can be fixed or not. We've got major problems with our Atlanta Braves, who once again got swept over the weekend on the West Coast. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you had a good weekend. We know the Braves did not. And, Mike, we are where we left off on Friday. And I had guys hit me up, Dukes, man, Bell, I can't wait till y'all come on. I got to hear what y'all have to say. Look, I'm not going to come on and lose my blank today over a team that's not hitting consistently, blowing games. They look like the Bad News Bears out there. You lose on a wild pitch over the weekend.
Oh, he's a great defensive catcher, though. No. Sean Murphy is an amazing defensive. His defensive skills make him untradeable in the minds of some Braves fans who have their heads firmly up their tuchus.
I'm so glad you said this because it's an example of what we've been talking about, why Drake Baldwin should be playing more, and that he's not a defensive liability. But the fact of the matter is, Braves country, we got a problem. We haven't had a stretch like this since 2016. And let me remind you guys, for those of you who weren't here, we weren't good. We weren't even sniffing the playoffs. 2016 is the last time we've had a stretch like this. So, Mike, when you talk about where we are right now, we're 10 games under 500. It's the first time, you know, since 2017 that you go back and you go, we've lost 14 of 17 games. 14 of 17. And, guys, I don't know if it's going to get any better. We go to the Brewers tonight. This isn't a gimme series.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard to wrap your head around 14 games out. It's just mind-blowing. And then, you know, the every way you could lose a game, they find a way. We talked about it. You finally get Matt Olson producing with runners on base, you know, providing some big RBIs the other night. I thought that's the best that Strider's look. Obviously, you've got to be almost letter perfect when you can't score any runs. But Strider's still a work in progress at best. But that Sean Murphy thing the other night, this is one that drives me crazy because anybody ever played catcher in Little League? My dad gave me a cup of coffee at catcher when I was a kid. Everybody knows, you know, you got to get your butt over there, man. Slide over. The game's on the line. Guy's 90 feet away. You backhand that crap? I mean, look, I get it. All half the catchers in Major League Baseball were other position players that were turned into catchers. But, I mean, that's just laziness. That's laziness from a guy who's supposed to be a really good defensive catcher, and it cost you the game. So that just really, of all the things that went wrong this weekend, that one really stuck in my mind.
Yeah, and look, a lot went wrong. We have no answers, and I'm not talking about Mike and I. They have no answers. Snit doesn't have an answer. You're losing one-run games. We're one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball when it comes to one-run losses. And, you know, it's not as if, again, you didn't have a chance to win these games. They were right there to be taken. We didn't finish. And that's kind of been what this team has been all season long. We just don't finish games. And because of it, guys, we find ourselves in a situation where we're in a skid. We don't know how to find our way out of it. And when you talk about putting these kind of stretches together, this is what losing teams do, not winning teams.
Right.
When you're putting stretches of being swept in one, two consecutive series and you lose seven in a row, like we lost seven in a row to start the season, this is what losing teams do. So it's not a reason for us to lose our blank. Let's try to solve the situation because here's where we're going to be. And I said this last week to you guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can hit us up 404-726-0929. We're going to find ourselves in early July realizing that we're out of this. And if we are, if we don't get our right here in the next few weeks, Mike, then you can start making serious decisions about the future. And that's going to be part of the solution. Guys, we got a guy in Albies who's right now a below-average defender. We got a guy in Michael Harris right now who hasn't hit all season long, and you've got him locked up for another 4 years. I'm not sure if those guys are not going to be a part of the future, Mike, when you start talking about if this doesn't right itself and where this team needs to go.
And again, that's another example. A guy that's normally like rock solid, he has a boot that it just will cost you the game in San Francisco. Talking about Ozzie at second base. I'm with you. I mean, we all love Monty Harris, but the guy's batting .237. You know, it's not even close to where you need it to be. Ozuna's been cooling off a little bit himself. just there's nothing going right for the. Another example, real quick. I always pray. I think most fans we praise Alex Anthopoulos for the genius work he's done in 21 and subsequent years. We're just kind of cobbling together a pitching staff, having to deal with injuries and everything else. What the hell was the point of the Craig Kimbrell exercise?
It's a great question.
You bring Craig Kimbrell up for a month of work at Gwinnett. He comes up. Yeah, he doesn't have explosive, overpowering stuff. He actually has a decent outing, and he gets DFA'd. I mean, what is the point of that? So I'm beginning to lose faith. I mentioned to Carl, and I talked about this earlier today. I was talking to Mike Konski about our boss. You know, Griffin Canning is the kind of guy that Alex Anthopoulos finds off the scrap heap. We actually had him on the roster in a trade for Soler with the Angels. They let this guy go, and he's become a freaking rock star for the Mets. The Mets, by the way, are on fire right now. They won 9 of their last 10. So to me, when it rains, it pours. Even Alex Anthopoulos has lost his fastball in this tailspin.
Want to hear from you guys? Find us on social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. The funniest thing that happened for me this weekend in regards to the Braves, and we hope you had a great weekend, was a guy who was criticizing me for saying, I told you this could get worse. And I said Friday, if they go get swept, this isn't going to feel any better when we roll back in here on Monday. Well, I don't feel any better. And the guy had the audacity, who looks at this and wants the Braves to lose? We want all of our teams to win.
Who's talking about wanting anybody to lose?
He interpreted what I said on social media as I was making fun of the Braves losing. What I was telling you is everything I've been saying right. is coming to light. It's like I looked into my crystal ball and told you, here's what's going to play out. And if it does, this is how you're going to feel. He had his, you know, in some he was feeling some kind of way. Long story short, Mike, the problem with the Braves are we're 3-14. We've been outscored by 8 runs, okay, in a situation where this could have easily gone the other way. And I know we're going to talk to Grant today, and I'm sure Grant's going to talk about this. But we're 9-19 in one-run games, 13-26 in two-run games. We can't win close games.
No.
So good teams in Major League Baseball, go back to 23, go back to 21. Any Braves team you've ever followed or you've ever thought that had a shot won the games that we're losing this year. And the reasons are various. It's not one thing. Mike mentioned it. You got a catcher who can't catch. You got a shortstop who can't, a second baseman who can't make a play.
Right. And then you got your starting pitching. I thought to go into San Francisco, it wasn't like you're getting bombarded by San Francisco. These are all close games. When you're not clutch, when you can't handle the pressure moments, when you're forcing, I thought Acuna was really pressing at the plate this homestand.
Well, I think they're all feeling it.
And then on the road trip to San Francisco, the first three, I mean, Acuna just terrible strikeouts. So they're all feeling the heat, you know, and Snicker, as we said, I mean, Snicker's like, what do you want from me? You know, he literally looks like, what do you want me to do about it? Braves are 17th in OPS at 699. You know, it's just the definition of unclutch. And that's why when we've talked about analytics and everything else, this team doesn't do anything right now. Nothing. You know, and as we said, it's like Strider, you still lost the game. They're 0-5 in game. Strider's now started since he's come back. And like, you want to give him a cookie because he's getting incrementally better? I mean, if this keeps up, the season's going to be long gone. 14.5 games for me as a baseball fan has always been my line in the sand. You get over that, I think you're dead. That's the number the Yankees came back from the Red Sox in 78. Anything after that, I don't want to hear about. Not with this group of players.
Well, even that is a miracle.
Right, it's hard, in and of itself.
It's hard to overcome 10 games. I'm just telling you. And
they did that 2 years ago.
They did. And guess what? We flamed out after we did it.
Yep.
It takes so much energy and effort day in and day out to climb the standings, and you're watching the scoreboard, and you're climbing the standings, and you're watching half a game, full game. Guys, you don't understand the toll that takes on you. I've been around it. I've seen teams try to do this, and it's like, well, if we just do this one more day, and you finally get over the hump, and we got in the playoffs, and everybody's like, yeah, and then we've collapsed.
Right.
You're not one of the best teams, not only in your division right now, but you're not one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And everybody keeps saying to me, well, Dukes, we've been unlucky. Unlucky? This is unlucky? That's how you see this. You're 10 games under 500. That's unlucky?
You started the season 0-7. You got back to one game over, and that was a nice little run. And you've tailspun again. You know, and we talked to, like, there's so many things I'm sick and tired of talking about that some Braves fans get, some don't. Leadership. Who's the voice? Hey, guys, who's the guy? Bring it in. We got it. Guys, come on. Everybody, extra work in the cages, extra film, everything. I don't know who that guy is. Austin Riley kind of leads by example. We've talked about should that guy be, you know, Ronald Acuna. Since Acuna's come back, they haven't done anything. We had a guy last week blaming Acuna. How are you doing that? So a few guys actually hitting for average right now. So you've just come to the realization this team is so far removed, and it's basically the same nucleus, the same guys that were here in 2023 when they were setting team records offensively that now can't do anything right.
By the way, the Strider thing, and I told you he went back, he did go six innings. But to Mike's point, the three hits, those were timely hits.
Right.
Those were hits that ultimately, you know, helped the Giants overcome the deficit. And, you know, the way the Braves started, you felt like yesterday, okay, cool, we're going to get something done. But he's 0-5 in starts. And just to take you guys back, it's the first Braves pitcher to lose five consecutive appearances since Mike Foltynewicz did it. That was 2017. This dude's supposed to be our second, maybe even our ace on this staff, and everybody is looking to him to be a stopper. He's yet to do that.
No, and again, the Braves go out, they get him. Now, granted, just one run, but they get him a lead, and then at one point they give him a 3-1 lead, and he can't handle it.
Can't hold on.
He can't hold on. And the fourth inning, the wheels kind of came off, and, you know, as we said, just when you are this bad, you need everybody to be letter perfect. So they press, but you're right. He gets, he gets a couple outs. It was a two-out rally. In that fourth inning. That's when you got to finish, and he's not able to do that.
Well, that's like the other night, right, when Schwelly pitched well. He's shutting these guys down like, hey, I need some help. Give me some help. We've seen Chris Sale do that. I'm going to give up a run. If any pitcher in Major League Baseball gives up a run, you're supposed to win. It's just that simple. Nobody's going to shut guys out every time out. But if I give up a run, either way.
It was a second slider, by the way. That's what Yastrzemski hit. He threw two sliders in a row, so I don't know if he was looking back for it. Went down and got it, and that was the double that kind of broke it open.
All right, guys, your thoughts, because they don't have any answers. Braves Brewers tonight. We'll continue to talk about this and where this is going. Chris Sale is on the hill tonight. Grant's on the way a little bit later on, but when we come back, they are back in it, and a big announcement about our Atlanta Hawks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Next. Yeah,
that's... I mean, they're just so bad the Braves are even screwing up our computer audio, Carl.
Well, it's not the only thing they're screwing up. That was Snit, obviously, saying, I don't know what that was. We didn't know what it was either, Snit. Dukes and Bell, Dominator behind the glass, our guy pushing the buttons. Day-Day's here as well, our executive producer. And it's crazy to think that we are where we are, and it's just early June. It's June 9th. I mean, it's not like it's August, and you're going, man, all right, well, we had some ups and downs. It just feels like this thing is going to crap quickly.
And for the eternal optimists out there, guys hitting us up on the text line, we appreciate your enthusiasms. Keep the receipts. It's fine. I mean, when you're down 14 games in the division, the Mets, as we said, Mets have gone through some swoons where they've lost 3 of 10, and they come back up. Because that's what good teams do, and they're built pretty darn well. So I hope that Alex Anthopoulos has a plan. You get to the point where I think even the most diehard positive Braves fans would say, perhaps you start to cut bait, you know, if you don't improve in the next month, because we'll be coming up on the All-Star game. Who'd have thought we were going to have an All-Star game where we literally couldn't even off the top of our heads think who the All-Star would be from the Braves?
Yeah. I asked the question last week, Mike, and it's funny. I said, who's the All-Star? And everybody in the room kind of paused. And we were on remote. This is at like a Twin Peaks. And everybody's in the room. Usually it's like, Albies! You hear somebody scream out something. Harris! Nobody screamed out anything. It was like, And it's a shame. But this is where we're at. Look, if you told me we wouldn't have any guys that should. Not that they won't, because I think we'll have one because it's in Atlanta. But that they should participate in the All-Star game versus us making the playoffs and making a deep run, I'd take B. Because as much as I care about us getting the All-Star game, and it's great for our city, and it's going to be a great week, I still care more about chips. And I care more about winning it all and being the dominant franchise in Major League Baseball. And so we'll see what happens, man. But, yeah, that's an interesting thing to kind of just view from afar to say, man, look at all this talent on this team.
Right.
Hey, who's their All-Stars? Yeah.
Azuna? Maybe.
Maybe.
Now, again, we'll see. There'll be somebody gets injured who doesn't show up for the All-Star game for whatever reason. And, again, it's tough because, you know, as a fan, it's one of those things where we're so used to seeing four guys and a couple of pitchers.
At least.
You know, and that now that's completely out the window. Do you think right now that they can find a way to tweak this thing? Or does management – here's the thing. I'm not going to expect Alex to go and spend money and invest in more players if you're going to look at this thing and say, well, you don't have a – right now we don't have a World Series cable winning team. Not even close. We don't have a team that can win the division right now, you know, unless we get some new guys. And how much is that going to cost? And what wherewithal do you have to go do that? The one thing I do think is true, and you and I were ahead of the curve on this one, is Sean Murphy's got to go. Murphy goes, and win, lose, or draw this season. Get him off the roster, and let's get some new pieces in here for him.
Well, you've got the perfect replacement in your number one prospect who's sitting on the bench night in and night out. And I know Drake struck out to end the game on Sunday, but this kid's done more than most. And look, I think that to me is one of the easy decisions. I think the hard decision, Mike, to be honest with you, is looking at a guy like Ozzie who's in his prime and saying, is it time for us to move bait or cut bait on him? Looking at a guy that you've committed a lot of money to in Money Harris, reasonable money. Do not get me misunderstood here. They didn't spend $300 million on Harris, but you did give him reasonable money because early in his career, I mean, kid's like 23, 24 years old. You thought he was going to be a phenom. And now it's like, okay, is he just going to be a really good defensive player, which he is, who doesn't hit? And is that okay? It's okay when you have dudes that pick up the slack. When they're not, you can't afford to not have a center fielder who plays as great a defense as Money Harris does, but doesn't hit.
Yeah, and you go back and you look at it, you know, Austin Riley's got a big contract. Olsen got a big contract. Acuna's, you know, we're hoping that he, you know, takes off. It's a value at $100 million. Strider's making 75. Sean Murphy's making 73 mil. And this is a total contract, all guaranteed.
Yeah.
And you already alluded to Money Harris making that 72 mil. And right now it feels like, am I going to continue to get a lack of return on this investment? What are you going to? Hard decisions, perhaps, at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and by the way, all those contracts Mike's mentioning, the escalators in them has us in the top 10 in payroll. See, we weren't a few years ago because you made those deals and none of these guys are getting that money. Now they are. So every year that's their money goes up, like Acuna, right? Now we're getting into year 7 and 8 and all of a sudden he's got one more year on his deal and you're like, okay, well now he's finally starting to make the $20 million that he should have been making 4 years ago. But all those escalators have us in the top 10 of payroll, which still, when you look at it, is not anywhere close to where the Mets or the Dodgers or the Yankees or any of these other top teams are.
And again, if you say, well, we can't spend like the Mets, okay, it's fine. I said this to Carl last week, talked to a lot of listeners about this. The gap between where the Braves are at 6, this is according to Spotrac. Some folks, depends on the website and the contracts, some contracts just came off the books, but you've got you're basically 7 or 8 or 6, depending on who you're talking to. To get to where the Phillies are in the top 5 in payroll, it's another $60 million. So, I mean, that's the difference. That's the starting pitching. That's the left fielder. That's a better shortstop. That's not bringing, with all due respect to Nick Allen and these other guys we've got off of waivers and just through hook or crook, those are bona fide players that other teams have.
Yeah, Verdugo, you're just rolling the dice, right? And both of those guys have helped at times, but that shouldn't be your mainstay. 404-726-0929. We got a lot more to dive into. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Find a way to lose. And they found it. That's how this season has gone. 9-19 again in one run games. 13-26. Those, by the way, for those who don't get it, are losing records. All right. Yes. 13-26 in two run games. And this is how it ended Saturday. And then I wanna fast forward to yesterday. Because Saturday, you're in the bottom of the ninth. You're like, okay, hey, we got this, and you don't have it.
Deep to left. Oh my. At the wall. It's gone. The Giants win it 3-2. And Atlanta drops another one.
Now, if you watch that, you probably threw something at the television or immediately turned it off and went and grabbed a brew or something. Then you get to Sunday, you're like, all right, we're going to salvage one. You know what? We're not going to get swept again.
So you end it with a Murphy error. Again, to me, that's a pass ball. Get your ass in front of the ball. Come on. Let's go. And then you have the Ozzie Albies error.
Well, that hurt you. That came back to bite you, and it cost you in this game. And then, you know, Drake Baldwin's up there trying to be the hero. And again, he's done a lot. But then Sunday happens.
40,000 on their feet. He struck him out. The Giants win, and the Braves drop another one-run ball game.
So remember, Mike, I said it's not losing. It's how we're losing.
Yes.
It's not that, look, you're going to lose some. You play 162, you're going to lose some. It's how we're losing these games. Think about it. Defensive lapses, pitching issues, guys not hitting. Like, simple things that should be like, okay, this team is better than this, but we continue to find ways to kick ourselves and lose games. And that, to me, is the thing that's bugging me the most.
And, you know, we talk about complimentary, you know, football, the secondary, working with the front, the defense. In this case, complimentary baseball. It never seems like more than two or three guys are ever hot at one time. Because Olsen actually had three RBIs. All of a sudden, okay, starting to see some signs of life there. And then Ozzie, after the hitting streak, now he's kind of cooled off. And then we talked about the error in the field. You know how I feel about Murphy. If I never see that guy in a Braves uniform again, it'll be too soon. Big zero in high tops. Nothing. Then you've got, you know, Ronald Acuna, who was really pressing. And Ronald, unfortunately, I mean, I thought this weekend really looked like he was trying to hit like a five-run home run.
He's trying to save the day.
Right.
I mean, he really is. And I hated for him because when he got hurt last year, he felt like he let us down. He didn't. Injuries happen. But now, Mike, he sees how his team is playing, and he knows. Look, Ronald's not going to tell you I'm the best player on this team. He is. So when that happens, the pressure of, man, I got to come through every time I'm up,
right,
you're starting to feel that. Whether that's him getting on base and setting the table or him hitting a home run to lead off and get the thing going where you got some energy, he's trying a lot harder than I think he was when he first came back a few weeks ago.
Going back to the last game against Boston, Austin Riley's batting 300.
Yep.
OPS, a little low for him, was 7.67 for those. Again, I can't use averages, Carl. You must use OPS. But the idea is putting the bat on the ball, hoping to contribute. So now, as you said, you go play a good – now, again, Milwaukee's over 500. They're scuffling a little bit, but they're still better than us.
They are. They've been more consistent than we have. We're going to talk with Grant coming up a little bit later on. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Series is tied. I'm talking about the NBA Finals. It was a blowout last night. And this is how game one started. Remember, they are down. The Pacers are down 15, and then they come back. No comeback last night. 123-107. And again, it was SGA, man. He just continues to show you why he's the MVP, leading the way. Now, Halliburton did have 17 points, but Mike, he only had 5 in the first half, right?
Yeah.
The first quarter.
Well, and also, SGA also did facilitate more than dominate early. If you notice, SGA was waiting until halfway through the first to get that first bucket. The things that didn't happen, happened for this game. Talk about Chet Holmgren. He was a factor early. He was making some baskets. So that was something you didn't see anything from him. And their bench scoring. A lot of bench scoring from Oklahoma City that you just didn't get. Alex Caruso, we were talking about before the show. So the worker bees were doing their work, and then SGA was cooking. And then you look at Halliburton, and that's the knock on Halliburton. He can give you that Michael Jordan stuff, but sometimes he disappears.
No doubt. Here's Shea Alexander talking about the team still needing to be better.
So we just use the opportunity to get better. We've done a really good job of that all year, and last game was no different. Tonight is the same thing. We did some things good tonight, we did some things bad, and we got to be able to get better and get ready for game three.
Look, if they play like this, this is a gentleman's sweep.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacers stole game one. They're about to go to Indiana. They play. I'm talking about Oklahoma City because that's the Oklahoma City that has played like that all year. Defensively stout, scoring at will. Shea 34 last night, Caruso 20 off the bench. Mike, they got their bench help. This is going to be a problem for the Pacers to respond. And that's why game one was such a surprise.
I thought Miles Turner, it was a nice jam where he takes it down to paint. Need more physicality in the paint. And what they did against the Knicks, Obi Toppin. Get Obi Toppin. Somebody needs to get SGA out of that rhythm because SGA was chill.
Yes,
he lost his cool in game one and he's chilled. Got the other guys involved. We mentioned Holmgren, et cetera. You talked about the bench. So it just seems like, yeah, it's hard-pressed to see this not be it. I think we're going to stick to our guns. OKC in six?
Yeah. Look, I had him in six. I thought it might go seven, but after last night, I'm like, I'm fooling myself. OKC's the better team. All right, we're coming back. Big shout-out to Coco Gauff. She wins the Women's French Open singles, first American to win since Serena Williams in 2015, and the youngest champ since Serena in 2002.
How cool is that?
Women's tennis, America is back. You're not going anywhere.
You watch Alcaraz, by the way?
It was unbelievable.
5.5 hours.
I kind of
like you and me doing a five-hour radio show.
That's a good point. That's a good analogy.
You go to play golf and you come back and we're still on the air. In this case, these guys are still hitting balls back and forth.
I watched every drop, every everything that I mean, and I didn't think I would. I turned it on, Mike, and I was so compelled, and he's so fun to watch. Yeah, man, that was one of the best matches I've ever seen as far as men's tennis is concerned, and there have been a ton over the years, but he wins the men's French Open as well. All right, when we come back, though, we got Hawks news. Hawks fans, stay right there. Changes in our organization you want to hear about coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On Dukes and Bell. One of the big things that happened over the weekend had to do with college football. We're going to talk to our man Connor Riley coming up at 4 o'clock. Schools are now free to begin paying their athletes directly. Amateurism is gone. And that's going to start July 1st. And Judge Claudia Wilkin, who approved the deal between the NCAA, its most powerful conferences, obviously the SEC included, and the lawyers representing all Division I athletes, it was House versus NCAA settlement. This is something we'll be talking about for years to come. But it finally came down, her decision, and now everybody's trying to gear up for July 1st. That includes the dogs, guys, as to how this is going to work, the infrastructure, but schools will be directly paying their athletes.
And now we know who's running this whole deal. Brian Seely, Carl, who comes from Major League Baseball. He was working for Rob Manfred as Executive Vice President of Legal and Operations. And they're saying his role is going to be pivotal as far as the enforcement framework. Pete Tamble's got an article from ESPN, Jeff Passan as well. So apparently this was one of the few guys they had a list, and this guy was on the top of the short list to run this thing.
He's got a great background for what his job description is going to be. And if you're wondering, like, this is why this guy's getting a few million bucks. He is going to be responsible for roster limits, third-party NIL, revenue sharing, enforcement, which is something I've said for years. Nobody wants to enforce their own selves. Nobody's going to say, oh, we did something wrong and we need to punish ourselves.
Oh, you mean like Michigan's self-discipline?
Exactly. So somebody has to be in charge. This guy's going to be in charge of that and a lot more. More on that coming up, but that was a big deal this weekend. Mike, the Hawks are set, according to reports, to hire, and they're ready to hire, and maybe this is already done, but reports out there, Shams had it. New Orleans Pelicans GM Bryson Graham is his name. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the senior VP of basketball ops, and the Philadelphia 76ers executive, his name's Peter Dinwiddie, as senior VP of strategy and analytics. All right, so they're hiring two guys, and let's rewind for a second about the Hawks. So Ansa Sala is our GM, and they're hiring two guys to come in, one from New Orleans, one from Philly, okay, to fill the role of what was supposed to be the hiring of a VP of personnel, a guy that was supposed to oversee all of this.
Right.
And apparently, from what I'm seeing, and we're going to have Steve Coonan on Friday, guys, we'll hopefully know more about this, but they are going to report to
Ansa Sala.
So Sala now is our general manager, and he's assumed that post since they fired Landry Fields. But, Mike, this is kind of different than what was assumed that was going to happen with the hiring situation.
Right. So you got a guy who's going to be Dinwiddie from the Sixers, senior VP of strategy and analytics. Bryson Graham, as you mentioned, senior VP of basketball. There's a lot of stuff on a business card. Business card may fold out. A lot of description on that. And I guess, what does that mean for Kyle Korver? Is he just like a shooting coach now at practice?
Kyle Korver has great player relationships.
Okay. I mean, we got a lot of dudes. I'm just trying to figure out what everybody does. I asked Caleb Johnson, who covers the Hawks. I said, you think Nick Ressler still got a spot? He goes, if he does, they're keeping it quiet. So we don't know what Nick Ressler's responsibility is. There was a big article in The Athletic about a year and a half ago that talked about, you know, the being at odds with Schlenk, which kind of put things in motion to kind of change the way the front office was structured. Don't know. But anyway, we got more brain power, Carl, with the draft just a few weeks away.
Yeah.
And then free agency.
Well, that's the big one for me because, again, the draft is one thing. I don't think we need to get younger. I've said this. I think you need to post those picks or at least package those picks, should I say, and make a move to make a deal to go get a couple of vets that can help you. And I don't mean Kevin Durant, okay? Don't want him. That's not the answer. But one of these guys, who was it, Peter Dinwiddie?
Yep.
He was with the 76ers for like 14 years. Or with the Pacers, should I say. He was with the Sixers since 2020. But he's with the Pacers for 14 years. The point I'm getting to is lots of experience in the NBA. Graham with the Pelicans, 15 years. So these guys have been around and been a part of some major decisions with those organizations. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and disrespect their resume. But, Mike, again, I'm just curious how all this is going to work. We talk about our Falcons all the time in the front office and the collaborative thing that we discuss. Mm-hmm. We know AA is making the decisions for the Braves, right? Win, lose, or draw, he's the guy that's making the decisions to bring players in and let guys go. But with the Hawks, is this now Anse Salas' team? Is it his deal?
I guess he's got extra, as we said, he's got extra guys to help out in what I think is a pivotal year. You got Trae Young for one more year before he has a chance to opt out at the conclusion of 25-26. So we've talked and we've had this debate amongst our audience. You know, do you reset it? Do you say to yourself, self, I've got to build around Trae. He's an immovable object in this equation. You've got guesstimated around $40 million in change to work with, to try to bring in a star player, to bring in a true all-star to complement what you've got with Trae, Jalen Johnson, the young nucleus of Dyson Daniels and Reese Hachey. You know, I don't know. We still have Okongwu, although I think he's more suited as kind of a four than a five. But you've got to get out of this. What, the point I'm coming to, Carl, you've got to get out of this play-in rut. This play-in rut is just, it's like a death sentence. You're stuck spinning your wheels. So I want to see them spend some money. I want to see wrestler get into the cap somehow, some way. Not for just to cut, you know, Carl, not for just to say, hey, we're spending more money. That makes sense. That has an immediate impact. That gets us out of this rut and gets us into a six or a five spot where we're nowhere in the playoffs every year.
That's hopefully the goal. And it's got to be the goal moving forward. But if you are curious about how the Hawks front office is going to look from this point on, at least, this is it. And you get two very experienced guys in Bryson Graham and Peter Dunwoodie to come in here and help assist Anse Salas in any way that they possibly can. And to Mike's point, when you talk about senior VP of basketball, okay. You talk about senior VP of strategy and analytics. If you ask me what their day-to-day jobs are, I have no idea. I'm not even going to sit here and tell you I do. But I will tell you their experience and hopefully, Mike, acquiring players, deals, trades. And the crazy thing is that Graham, when he was with New Orleans, had the title of GM, but he wasn't the GM. David Griffin was the general manager.
Right.
He was just there kind of, again, assisting. So this is not, you know, I think it's a promotion for him, certainly from a title standpoint. But he had the title of GM, but that wasn't his show. David Griffin was running the show. So and they've got a whole new front office there as well. Joe Dumars, you guys remember Joe Dumars with the Pistons. Right. He's now going to be running the Pelicans organization.
And that was a name we had talked about, you know, bringing. But you know, I mentioned Dumars coming here at some point.
Yep.
We did kick the tires on Toronto's team president. Apparently he was just using us for leverage, trying to get more loot. That didn't pan out. So as we said, don't really know what this all means to Carl's point. A lot of mumbo-jumbo as far as the pecking order. But Anse Salas, who's a very bright guy and has a good rep coming from Golden State, how do you fix this team? Okay, your brain trust is in place. Fix it. Fix this freaking team. Get me out of this play-in rut. Figure it out. Are you going to move forward with Trae, or are you going to say, you know what, Trae, we're going to shop you, and we're going to reset it? You know, and do you have the balls to do that, or do you feel, hey, guys, these new guys come in, Carl, and their mindset is, no, Trae is immovable. Mm. He is the guy. And that argument and the great discussion you and I had with the audience last week about, you know, Steph Curry is a unicorn. Everybody else who plays point guard in this league is bigger than Trae Young. So how do you make that work and make it more successful?
That is the first thing they need to figure out. Now, they don't need to figure that out now, but I think they need to know what direction they're headed.
But do you think Trae would opt out after next year?
Yes, I do.
Me too. I know I would.
Yes, I do. And look, opting out of the NBA is easy now. Everybody always says, why would you do that? Because you can get more money. But he's making, it doesn't matter. He's going to get more. Yeah. So, you know, it's just LeBron opts out. You name it. AD, bro, everybody opts out because I can get more money. It is rare that you opt in, meaning I take the salary that I know I'm supposed to get this year and it's under contract, or I'm going to opt out. And it just makes sense. Trae's at a point, Mike. He's playing at an all-star level. He could easily, you know, make another $100 million if he wanted to. Now, the thing about it is he was not All-NBA, which would have gotten him to that Supermax, which, you know, we were talking about Luka having an opportunity to sign when at Dallas. But he's got to wait now, and hopefully that's going to happen in L.A. But, yeah, I think it's an easy no-brainer that Trae's going to opt out. You guys tell us what you think. And, again, it's hard to decide or at least decipher if these guys are going to be the right moves or decisions because they haven't done anything yet. We don't know what this front office is going to do. And to Mike's point, if they make some major offseason moves, and by the way, we are so far under the cap. We've got money to spend. All this stuff that we've discussed, There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to improve the team if they want a deal, Mike. And that's what we're going to find out here fairly quickly as we approach the draft here coming up at the end of the month.
Currently, we're over the cap. They will once the year ends and the contracts come off the book. So if you're looking at it right now, a couple guys just hit us up saying, wait a minute, I see we're $27 million in the red. It will clear up.
Yeah, we are going to have about $40 million under when it's all said and done. And part of that had to do with moving DeAndre Hunter, moving Bogey. You saved a lot of money moving forward, and then the guys you acquired were a lot less, which, again, that you acquired that savings. So, yeah, they're going to have some opportunities. I'm interested in, like, okay, what happened to hiring that guy that was supposed to oversee everything, and then you came to this resolution? And obviously their thought process is, Mike, Saleh is – the guy, right. He's better than anybody we could go out and get.
And that's what I'm saying. A lot of guys hit up on the text line saying, what does this all mean? Again, Carl, I don't know. But I do know that the average listener doesn't even care. Just fix the team, right? You got two guys that have experience in the front office with another guy who comes from a championship pedigree in Golden State, Anansi Saleh, albeit not as officially as a general manager.
Right.
But okay, let's go. But at some point, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about, well, you know, we really can't get into the luxury, these aprons, and it just hamstrings you. Yeah, and I get it. Oklahoma City, they're not in there because they drafted perfectly, exquisitely. They built a young team, which is great. Indiana built a great team through the draft and then picked, and they got Siakam to come there. We couldn't get Siakam to come here. It's a really well-built team. So, again, I've given up trying to figure out what is the motivation of Tony Ressler or how can he be content to have this team continue to be so mediocre. You know, I mean, what are we here for? We said the same thing about the Braves. Why are we here? You know, if you've got the coin, friggin' spend it. Prime the pump and let's fix this thing.
Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Coming up, we're going to talk about all the things going down in the NFL, including mandatory minicamp this week for our Atlanta Falcons. Mike and I will be up there on Wednesday, get a chance to talk to a couple of guys and bring you the latest. And this is going to be like one of the last weeks, guys, because after this, they go on a break, and then it's training camp time. And so this is going to be our last time to really get a sense of, okay, here, I'm about to leave, but what are you working on? Because each one of these guys, as they make their way off to the next 5 or 6 weeks, Mike, they're all hoping to come back improved and in shape and ready to go for a camp that hopefully is going to catapult us back into the playoffs.
Can't wait. I mean, looking forward to seeing, as we said, you know, the fans come back. This last year was such so strange, just for us from a personal standpoint, to be at practice and not have that little extra juice of having the hillside covered with like 2,000 fans going bananas. Everybody wants to see our new draft picks. Everybody wants to see what we can do as far as generating pass rush. Everybody's, you know, really juiced to see Penix. Curious to see how the dynamic plays with Kirk Cousins. Curious to ask some of these guys we're going to talk to on Wednesday. Does it matter? Do you give a flip if Cousins is here or not? We'll get into all that. But this is a year for the general manager, and I think I think just the same level with the coach. Maybe slightly lesser extent, it's playoffs or bust. If they seem to go to playoffs, we're going to have a new general manager next year.
Hey, guys, U.S. Open week is here, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of the major championship coverage here in Atlanta. Stay tuned all weekend long for live leaderboard updates from Oakmont in Pennsylvania, and it's brought to you by our friends at the Georgia Hemp Company. Check out their new locations, guys, by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local financial fiduciaries, and Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views. Bobby Jones Golf Course here in Atlanta, open to everyone, and Umberto Injury Law. When it's game time and winning is the only option. That's U.S. Open coverage all week long on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming back. One dog makes a decision to sign elsewhere. We'll tell you who and where that is coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.